want to read to begin with out of the second chapter of Hebrews. And beginning with the first verse. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, a reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. It tells us here in that first verse that we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Now this is something we've got to be careful of, is not letting the things that we know to do slip away from us and not paying attention to them. And this would be awful easy to do if we don't pay pretty close attention to the scriptures and follow the will of the Lord. And it goes ahead then to tell us that we aren't going to escape them if we don't do them. We're going to be held responsible for things that we don't do. And God has given us many things. As he tells us in the fourth verse, God also be bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. And we can't expect those gifts, those things to happen to us, unless we have paid earnest heed to that which he has told unto us. I want to go over here into Timothy for a few verses. First Timothy, and I want to read several verses here, beginning with the first one. Paul always is pretty definite here as to who he's speaking to and for what purposes and so on. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of our God, our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace and mercy, peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide in Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Now he left him there that he might tell these people that they shouldn't be teaching any other doctrine. He's going to tell them what they should teach. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister question rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now these are some things that they shouldn't do. They shouldn't start following after fables. What do you suppose fables might be? They would be untruths in the gospel, wouldn't they? Do you suppose these people that have run off out here to San Francisco waiting that they might all be... Some of them say that they're going to be murdered, and when they are, then they're going to raise in 3 days and be taken to another planet in a spaceship. I'd say that this is some sort of a fable, wouldn't you? But we should take heed to these fables. But as he told there in that end of the third verse, that they should teach no other doctrine other than what he taught them. Now the eighth commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling. Some people have turned away from these things and they have ended up in this condition of vain jangling. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor wherefore they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing that the law is not made for the righteous man. And we know this, that a righteous man doesn't need these laws, because he's not going to need it. These guidelines, if he is absolutely righteous, he's going to follow after things that are right. But we have to have them there to guide us continually. He tells us, knowing that the law is not made for righteous men, but for the lawless and the disobedient and for the ungodly, for the sinner, for the unholy and profane, for the murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers and manslayers. But that's what this law is made for. And Timothy was left there to tell these people those things, that they might know of them. But they might not follow after fables, and that they might not end up in this here vain jangling and searching out endless genealogies. But they shouldn't do these things, but they should follow after the word of the Lord. And it's awful easy to step to one side and to follow into things that aren't written of in the scriptures. I want to go into 1 Corinthians and read a few verses. 1 Corinthians in the 10th chapter. And this was at a time when they were speaking to the people, and they were telling them what had happened to the people that had came out of Egypt, and some of the things that happened to them. And we'll begin with the 5th verse here. And he tells them, but with many of them God was not well pleased. He wasn't pleased with the things that they'd done when they came out of Egypt. For they were overthrown in the wilderness. Had they been truly following after the Lord, they wouldn't have been overthrown in the wilderness. They wouldn't have suffered those setbacks and those trials and those hardships. But they done things that wasn't pleasing before the Lord, and many of them had great tribulation there in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, that they also, as they also lusted. He's telling them there that they shouldn't do the things that they done when the people were in the wilderness. But these were examples before them, that they might know what is happening, what they should and should not do. Neither be ye adulterers, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, for as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. That's quite a few people. 23,000 people fell in one day. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpent. We remember the story of the serpent when they were in the wilderness, that many of them were bitten and died. Neither murmur ye, as some of them have murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyed. Had they been faithful and followed after the Lord, they wouldn't have been murmuring. and they wouldn't have been destroyed. Now, all these things happened to them in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Now, as we live our lives, we shouldn't get to the point where we believe that we can't be tempted, or that we are above temptation, or that we are better than someone else. For as soon as we do this, then we stand up in a position to fall. And here is the story being told to the people, according to my book here, about 69 A.D. They were going back and telling them of what had happened to the people as they left Egypt, and some of the things that happened to them, so that they would have an example and something to refer to. And here we are, about 1950 years later, we're referring to these same stories. The people don't really change a whole lot. You think the people of the world are tempted just the same as they were then, and many of the same sins are committed today, just like they were 2,000 or 3,000 years ago. And they had the same hardships, and we have some of the hardships that they had. But if we could turn away from these things, from vain anger, and from the lust that comes upon the people of the earth, if this could be avoided, the problems that they had and the tragedies they suffered, we wouldn't be depressed. Because the Lord, if he is working with the righteous people, he's going to look after them. And he's going to bless them. But as soon as we turn away from the things of the Lord, we can expect to have a lot of problems that fall upon us. I want to read a few verses out of the fourth chapter of James. Beginning with the third verse. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Now some people might pray for things that they shouldn't have. And sometimes we ought to pray and seek the Lord that we might not ask the things that we shouldn't have. And we should always pray with the attitude that the Lord's will be done, for he does know that. But there, he talks to these people, and they just ask the things that they shouldn't have, and they didn't receive them. Ye adulterers and ye adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. But that doesn't mean that we can't be friendly one with another and live one with another. But if we take up the trace of the world that is enmity with God, we can't do these things. We know that there's lots of things that people of the world think they are having great entertainment and joy out of. But when it comes right down to it, we know that they're not having any peace of mind nor any joy in the world. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Now the natural man is an enemy of God. And we've got to overcome these things. And we've got to work at it. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. So if we're humble people, the Lord is going to treasure the people. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Therefore, we've got to be humble if we're going to submit ourselves unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, that's a wonderful promise, though, isn't it? Now, how would you get the devil to flee from you? Just resist him. Now, if he sees that he can't work and work in you and cause you to become evil, and if he decides that he can't do it, and he finds 10 more people he can work with, he's going to go over there and work, isn't he? Now, it's not that he's not going to be back tempting all the time, but if you keep resisting him, he's not going to be able to get hold of God anymore. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Now, if we resist the devil, he's going to flee from us. And if we draw nigh to God, then he's going to draw nigh to us. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your heart, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. So he is not going to tolerate a proud people, is he? He tells us to be humble. Now, if we're going to be a proud people, that's going to be a pretty good way for the devil to get hold of us. He's going to be able to enter in and reach in and grab you. Or use your flashing sword and gradually lead you astray and bind you to where he's got you forever. But if we resist him, he's going to flee from us. And if we draw nigh to the Lord, he's going to draw nigh to us. And then you're going to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And we know that many people that have sought the Lord have long since passed away. But if they have done his will and kept his commandments, we know that they have made the most of it. I want to read a few verses out of 2 Nephi in the 12th chapter. And this few verses here might be pretty harsh in a large part of the world. Woe be unto them that should say, we have received the word of God, and we need no more of the word of God, for we have enough. For behold, thus saith the Lord God, I will give unto a children of men line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Now he didn't say that he's going to give it to us all at once. And it's very possible, even yet, that we may receive in our time another book that will be brought forth that will explain a lot of things. It's true, we have enough here for our soul salvation. But he says he's going to give line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. And he didn't say he was going to quit at any time. Very likely that each one of us in our lifetime will see more prophecies fulfilled. And we will hear people prophesy and tell of things to come, and they'll be telling the truth. And we want to speak that we might know from us
telling the truth. And blessed are those who hearken unto my precepts. So he gives a little here and a little there. Blessed are those people that's going to hearken unto them. And lend an ear unto my counsel, for they shall learn wisdom. And we know that wisdom is going to help us a whole lot, so we'll understand a lot of things. Without wisdom, we wouldn't understand very much of the gospel. For unto him that receiveth, and I think this is really important for them that receive it, those who pay attention and heed his word, I will give more. To those who receive it, I'm going to give more. And from them that shall say, enough, shall be taken away even that which they have. A lot of people then, they're not going to have enough if they really got out. Cursed is he that putteth his trust in men, in man, and maketh place his arm, or shall hearken unto the precepts of men. Now here is a qualified statement. They, their precepts shall be given by the power of the Holy Ghost. Now if they're given like that, it's going to be all right. But we don't want to take the precepts of men until we are sure that they're right. And how would we know if they're right? We're going to have to hearken to the words of the Lord. We're going to have to seek out his ways and find what he wants us to do. And then we ask him in any prayer that he's going to give us an answer. I want to read some verses here in Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. Beginning here with the 15th verse, the person should read this whole chapter probably. There's an awful lot in it. But we'll begin with the 15th chapter. We can pick up another thought of it. I mean, he could talk to the people that had been an unrighteous people, an unholy. And here in the 15th verse, he says, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Now, if we were found that we had done something that was wrong, we would see you a bit of guilt, wouldn't we? We wouldn't want to be found out. It says here, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither should they blush. Their conscience was pretty well filled. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see, and ask for the old path, wherein the good way, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. I like that verse. It says, and thus saith the Lord, stand in the way, and see, and ask of your power. Now, if a person is doing that, it says, and stand in the way, and see. So this would mean that you waited and come in with it. If you were willing to take a little time and seek the old path. And the old path is those who are righteous. For it's a good way. Now that should be something that starts out. It's a good way. And walk therein. And you don't find rest for your soul. But these people wouldn't do it. They wouldn't seek you. I wonder if you went out here and if you could round up 300 or 400 or 500 people just at random and read these words and ask them if they would like to speak to you today, if they would like to say Some of them would be righteous people. Ask them if they'd like to become more righteous. And they would probably tell you they would. But the average people, if you round it up, they wouldn't want any part of it. They want to be right ahead and live the way they're living anymore. Also, I set a watchman over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore, hear, ye nations, and know, the congregation, what is among them. Hear, O Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this people. Even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my word, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose come it there to me? Entry from Sheba, and that she came from a far country. Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices pleased unto me. And what they had been doing, they didn't please them at the least bit. They may have been partaking in some of the requirements at that time. The sacrifices that they were food on their bread. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay a stumbling block before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them, and the neighbor and his friend shall perish. So you've heard this some time, isn't it? Now, what does that happen in the next few years? What are you speaking to them there? Very possibly again. But the way these things talk is to be different right today. And receive the right of living around the Bible. And the people that aren't heeding the word of the Lord, that aren't trying to walk upright, aren't trying to be humble people, the same situation exists today. And there will come these rocks before people, and they are falling. And it seems that tragedies and trials increase continually. I noticed in the paper the other day it said that the crime rate in the United States had gone up 17%. Well, 20 or 30 years ago, when it went up 10%, they thought it was terrible. But 5%. We'll say of 100, sure as much as 19% of 1,000. And this is what the situation driven to the point that it used to be there might be a few hundred crimes for 10,000 people. Now there is hundreds of crimes, and they have increased 17% of these hundreds. So things are increasing. And the situation continues to get worse day by day. And it would be a frightening thing if this is what we have to look for, look forward to the rest of our lives. But I'm sure there's going to be a lot more trials, and there'll be tribulations that people cannot believe. But the Lord has always held out some hope for his people. I'm going to read in Revelation, in the third chapter, beginning with the 20th verse. And this is what the people of the world which makes you then see. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. Now that's quite a promise, isn't it? All we've got to do is to hear his voice and allow him to come in. And I'm sure this person here does this thing. And it's too bad that the people of the world couldn't take these words to heart and know that they have something to lean upon. To him that overcometh, will I grant to set down with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear. But the Spirit saith, so people don't need to be too frightened because they need a good life. They're going to have trials in the fire, and they're going to be hard to get. And we are going to have someone that we can turn to, and we can ask for help, and we can expect to receive the help. But it's going to be quite a trial upon the people that don't know of this. There are four that don't care. We look around about it, watch the way the people live, and they put their trust in things of the world and the entertainment that they can have that they think is good joy to do. Then they realize that they can turn to someone that can change all of this, and what they believe to be happiness, they many times receive it sin, and there is no joy in it. There is a way that they can go, that they can receive this happiness, and that is